Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Okay, all right, my mic's up. Okay, now, today on It's My House, we're going to start documenting this stuff. The podcast today is titled Learn Anything in 20 Hours. Learn Anything in 20 Hours. And this is based on the book. Let me open up my Kindle real quick. This is based on the book, The First 20 Hours. Okay, The First 20 Hours. Now, Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called Outliers. In that book, Gladwell speaks about and gives examples of how anyone, if they put in 10,000 quality hours, can master anything. Any skill set. All right. What we're talking about is how that all starts. The first 20 hours. All right. Now, the book is by a guy named Josh Kaufman. And he's written a book titled The First 20 Hours. We've talked about this on previous podcasts. But now we're going to take it to the next level as far as It's My House goes. And we're going to apply it to me. All right. And anybody who's listening. The skill set that we want to acquire. We're not on the mastering part stuff. Now, and here's where we're going with this. We're taking for granted that you know absolutely nothing about building a house. You don't know how to build a doghouse. You don't know how to build a shed. You might have participated in it, but not even that. So what we're going to talk about today, and for the next 20 hours of It's My House, is picking up the fundamentals. What you must learn fundamentally to build, to get in 20 quality hours of learning how to build. All right, the first, you know, what are the first 20 hours? The first 20 hours that we went through and learned how to walk, we were falling down half the time, falling down, busting our lip, crying, but we got back up. That's how we learn how to walk, okay? Learn how to speak. You know, going from grunts to getting that first word to putting together a short two-word sentence or a one-word sentence to two-word sentence to regular conversations, 20 hours. So the greatest orators all had to go with the first 20 hours. So we're going to, matter of fact, let me get in the book right now. Once again, this book is titled The First 20 Hours. I highly recommend the book. I've got it on my phone. And I'm going to skip to, let's see. Okay, I'm going to skip down a little bit in this book. I'm in a subchapter titled, What is Rapid Skill Acquisition? What is Rapid Skill Acquisition? And you can apply this information that if you want to learn a language, play a sport, play an instrument, anything. The first 20 hours. Okay, now, so what is rapid skill acquisition? Rapid skill acquisition is the is a process, a way of breaking down the skill you're trying to acquire into the smallest possible parts, identifying which one of those parts are most important, then deliberately practicing those elements first. It's as simple as that. Rapid skill acquisition has four major steps. Deciding exactly what you want. Actually, it says four. One, two, three, four. He says four, but I'm reading five. Okay. Five major steps. Number one. Well, okay, I see what he means four. Okay. Deciding on exactly what you are able to do. Okay. Number two, step number two, deconstruction. Deconstructing a skill into the smallest possible sub-skills. Number three, learning enough about each sub-skill to be able to practice intelligently and self-correct during practice. Step number four, removing physical, mental, and emotional barriers that get in the way of practice. And step number five, practicing the most important sub-skills for at least 20 hours. Okay? Now, we're going to come back to this, these five steps. All right? Now, the thing that we want to do here is we want to, like I say, I'm going from the point that you know nothing about building a house. You don't know how to build a doghouse, a dollhouse, a shed. You don't know any of it. But, and it could be daunting, just that thought. But that's why we're going through the first 20 hours. The first 20 hours, you're going to learn the basics. the fundamentals. At the end of 20 hours, will you be a master? No. But as one of the steps that I just mentioned, you'll know enough fundamentally where you can self-correct and get better at it the more you do it. So we're going to play Solar Cabin because that's what we want to build and get proficient at it, where we can get into the production mode of how many will we crank out today. I just saw a video this morning where they organized and cranked out 40 houses in a day. Small houses, mind you. So actually, micro houses. They cranked out 40 in a day. All right. So everything starts with one. And when you start with one, you've got to learn the fundamentals. So I'm going to play this just for the kazing of time, because we want to focus in on the cabin part. There are two parts to them putting this together. So we're going to take 7 minutes, listen to this, and then we're going to break it down into two general parts and then break it down from there based on the book, The First 20 Hours. All right. And then this half hour segment, this all is part of that, because at the end of 20 hours, we want to have a completed cabin. Okay. So let's start with the instruction based on the book, The First 20 Hours.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
All right. Today's podcast is titled Learn Anything in 20 Hours. And the 20 hours that we want to document here is building our solar cabin. All right. Now, we're going from the book Learn Anything in 20 Hours by Josh Kaufman. Now, let me review what he wrote. I highly recommend getting the book once again. He says rapid skill acquisition has four major steps, but he's written five. Step one, deciding exactly what you're able to do. Step two, deconstructing a skill into the smallest possible subskills. Step three, learning enough about each subskill to be able to practice intelligently and self-correct during practice. Step four, removing physical, mental, and emotional barriers that get in the way of practice. Step five, practicing the most important subskills for at least 20 clock hours. All right? Let's go to step one, and that is deciding exactly what you are able to do. Now, we can even break that down, but we're going to keep it simple today. So in the case, because due to this podcast, we're talking about building a solar cabin. Now, step two is deconstructing the skill into the smallest possible subskills. Now, the way I'm listening to the thing is, okay, you got to find some land, but we're not going to deal with that aspect today. So that's one skill, but we're not going to deal with that today. All right. That brings us to the cabin. All right. You have the cabin. The cabin itself costs $2,000 to build. And we know he built it by himself in over a period of 2 weeks. That's what we want to deal with, the building of the actual cabin. Now, there's a third part that we're not going to deal with during this 20 hours, and that is the solar electric system, because he can power his lights, his laptop, his probably 12-volt television. We're not going to deal with that either. All we are interested in, okay, out of these three general parts, is that cabin. Now, once again, he said he spent $2,000 over maybe about a two-week period to build it. And I think it has living space of about 200 square feet. All right. So what we want to do is we want to break that down. What are the component parts? And not only that, another part of the deconstruction of that is, and he doesn't mention it in his 7 minute audio, is you're going to need tools. So we want to break it down to the component parts of a cabin. What are the component parts, and what's step one of that? And after you get that complete, what's step two? After you get that complete, what's step three? But you're going to need tools. He didn't mention that. So let's see. I don't want to run out of time here. Okay, we got 5 minutes. Let's start with the tools. We got enough time to talk about tools. Anybody can chime in also. 619-768-2945. All right. Suggested tools are a circular saw. All right. If you're doing this from your home and you have, you know, you can plug in to a wall, or you can get a circular, let's keep it simple, to plug into the, or if you're out at a remote location where you have no plug-in electricity, get a generator. All right, but a circular saw, you're probably going to need a nail gun, or at least at the bare minimum, a hammer. You're going to need joists. You're going to need the screws and bolts and hangers, the proper joist hangers to put on this. So screws, nuts, bolts, joists, hangers. You're going to need that. He doesn't mention that. You're going to need a hammer. Maybe, but I would say have one just in case. circular saw, nail gun. All right, if I'm missing anything, anybody in the audience that wants to chime in on it, 619-768-2945. But those items I just named are fundamentally needed, and he does not mention them in the audio that we play. All right, but you're going to need that. That's all part of the fundamentals. Included in the fundamentals also, safety. Safety comes first. You need to have some work goggles. Get you some work goggles to protect your eyes. You're going to need that. It's part of the fundamentals. Okay. I would recommend gloves too, work gloves. The proper shoes you don't want to be doing this, particularly if you're beginning with your flip-flops on or even tennis shoes. Get you some work shoes, boots, all right? All right, goggles. I don't recommend a hard hat, but some of you that might, you're going to eventually need one, but you're definitely going to need goggles, work gloves, proper shoes. All right. I would also recommend go on YouTube and look up anything dealing with safety, because safety comes first. Safety comes first. Okay, look, we're out of time here on Blog Talk. We're going to go into the backyard here on It's My House to our other platform, and we're going to continue this because this is part of our 20 hours. This talk that we're having right now is part of our 20 hours. So we're into 30 minutes of our first 20 hours on this. And then, Robin, let me get to you so Robin can give out the phone number to call so we can continue this tonight. It's in my house backyard. Robin, are you there? Okay, she's somewhere in the back. Let
yes.
Me...
Yes.
Oh, okay.
319-527-4961. And you want to put this phone number, you know how you put in the call-in number for Blog Talk? You want to put this one right behind it in your media now, all right? In the title and everything.
We'll put
– all right?
We'll start doing that as of the next podcast, which will be up there tomorrow. And then our Anchor podcast,
yes.
I'll put both numbers. So
yes.
Thank you for that.
And
the
backyard is open right now, so come on in.
All right. Play some music until I get there. Then when that finishes, we'll be ready when we'll continue what we're talking about right now.
Ooh, Lord, I'll try to. All righty.
Okay.